All right. So I hope you guys are doing good. It's great to be with you. Funny story. So my children aren't here. You can tell because it's quiet in the sanctuary right now. I really don't know if we've ever been to a Sunday service without our children. And if they haven't been here, it's only because one of us aren't here. So Emma got the idea to go to Grandma and Grandpa's down by the shore last night. So that's where they went. And then Robin and I are looking at each other, and we're like, what are we going to do? So we went to dinner, and we only had to feed ourselves. And we could look at each other and have deep, meaningful conversations over hot food. I thought I was in heaven for a minute. But the server that came to help us, she asked what we wanted to drink. I said, I'd like a cream soda. And Robin ordered an Arnold Palmer. Anybody know what an Arnold Palmer is? Yeah, it's half lemonade and half iced tea. Well, when the server brought our drinks, I got my cream soda as planned. All good. Robin got a full glass of iced tea, and she got half a bottle of lemonade. Like, not a full bottle. And it was, you know, you had to unscrew the top. You get it out of the refrigerator there in the restaurants, you know. So this girl just, it was clear she misunderstood. We're like, for a second, what is going on? Did we order this? She must have heard, I'd like an iced tea with a half a lemonade, instead of I want an Arnold Palmer, half iced tea, half lemonade. So, kind of funny, but it illustrates how important communication is, right? We sometimes think we're being clear, and we can confuse people. Or sometimes we're crystal clear, and people are just confused. So what I want to try to do today is make sure that I'm not being confusing with this idea of a spiritual 401k. Somebody may have looked at that title this morning and been like, you know, what is that? Maybe you Googled it because you're like, I don't know what that is. Spoiler alert, it doesn't exist. I made it up. So I don't want you to be worried, but a spiritual 401k is not real. But a 401k is real, and we're going to define that in more detail in a bit, but just at a high level, a 401k is when the government allows you to open an account, usually through your employer, and what? You get to put money into it pre-tax, and it's something for when you retire, right? That's the intent of it. And our U.S. population has about 330 million people in it today. Of that amount, about 161 million are working, which means about 161 million people, not all of them have an opportunity because maybe their employer doesn't allow provide a 401k benefit for them, but many of this 161 million, they're saving for retirement. They're putting money away in this 401k. They're contributing. They want to be financially secure when they retire. Around 35 million people in America, they're already retired. So of those 35 million, some people are already living off of their 401k. They're tapping into it. It's helping them live their daily lives. So a 401k is real. A spiritual 401k is not. But I want to use this idea. Use your imagination with me. Play along with the guy. A spiritual 401k, I think, will help us as Christians to stay disciplined about what? Our investment in Jesus. Our investments in Jesus. Because if we can be disciplined enough to invest financially for our retirement, can we be as disciplined or more disciplined to invest in kingdom work, which is for all eternity? So here's my thesis for the morning. It's that Christians must have an investment strategy that focuses more than just on our material world and more than just on money. Without a spiritual component to our investment strategy that involves our service to Christ, our portfolio, it's a fancy word, Sam knows it better than me, so does Sherry. Our portfolio, it's incomplete. It's incomplete. So to give you a sense of the direction we're headed this morning, here's the outline for the sermon. First, I want to talk a little bit about the origins of the stock market, because a lot of the real 401k is invested in this thing from called a stock market. And I didn't know a lot about it, so I hope you enjoy learning a little bit about that. Then the next thing we'll do is define what I'm trying to share with you, this illustration of a 401k. We'll define that a little bit more. Then third, we're going to discuss why this idea of a spiritual 401k is important. What's in it for me? Why does it matter? Why should I even be thinking about this idea? And fourth and finally, I want to offer some suggestions regarding how we can invest in our spiritual 401k. And many of you are already doing this. You may not be calling it a spiritual 401k, but maybe this just puts a name to what you're already doing. And for some of us, maybe we haven't ever looked at our Christian walk this way, and it's another tool to help us live for Jesus the way he's called us to do and the way we really would like to. So the origins of the stock market. In the 1600s, the Dutch East India Company, they had a vast fleet of ships, and they traded gold, porcelain, spices, and silk around the globe. So as you can imagine, it was probably a very expensive enterprise. And so what they did was they engaged private citizens, and they solicited those private citizens to invest and support their operations in exchange for some share of the profits that the company made. That business model that they created, it allowed the company to expand its ships' voyages further than they were ever able to go before. And both the company and the investors made money. Now, by selling shares of their company in coffee houses and shipping ports, the Dutch East India Company unknowingly invented the world's first stock market. And other companies quickly began emulating this business model to raise capital to fund their ventures. Then in 1624, the Dutch founded New Amsterdam on the southern end of Manhattan, and they built a stockade from which the street Wall Street derives its name. And it runs today east from what is now Broadway downhill to the East River. Then there was something called the Compromise of 1790, and this cemented Wall Street's role as the nation's financial capital. This agreement that was put in place, it allowed Alexander Hamilton, United States' first Secretary of the Treasury, to implement his fiscal policy of paying Revolutionary War debt using federally issued bonds. On May 17th, 1792, the New York Stock Exchange was created when 24 brokers signed what's called the Buttonwood Agreement. Now, currently, there are 80 stock exchanges in the world. There's a lot of these things I didn't know, and that's fascinating to me. And this slide that you're looking at, it shows the names, locations, and rank of the top 25 stock exchanges around the world. As of August 2023, the total market value of all 80 stock exchanges was $110 trillion, with a T, dollars. And $106 trillion of that value was from these top 25 stock exchanges. And of course, the two most famous, the two that have by far the biggest investments in them, the largest value, are both in the United States. The number two ranked one is the NASDAQ. Now, some of these numbers may not be exactly right. They confused me. But it seems like the best data that I could find says that the NASDAQ is valued at about $35 billion with a B. I thought it would be more than that, but I couldn't find a different number. I consistently found that number, if you can believe the internet. And a lot of this is based on stuff I found on the net. But the New York Stock Exchange, it's ranked number one with a value of about $46 trillion. $46 trillion. What's our national debt? Isn't it about that? Okay, maybe we'll talk about that more in a minute. Now, here's a picture of the New York Stock Exchange building, and I took this from the New York Stock Exchange website. For many people in the world, this building symbolizes wealth and prosperity. People derive their identity, their security, and their future hopes from this institution. Now, for those who have all that they are tied up in this exchange, you know, you always need to look at the fine print. Look at the bottom of this picture. The New York Stock Exchange gave this picture a name. It's the New York Stock Exchange facade. Now, facade has two meanings, if you look in the dictionary. The first meaning is the front of a building. The second meaning is a false, superficial, or artificial appearance or effect. So I submit to you that the person, the Christian, who has only invested in the material through vehicles like IRAs, CDs, saving accounts, pensions, and 401ks, many of which make the value of the New York Stock Exchange what it is, they're putting their faith in a facade. If you look at the history of investments in this country, there's been stock market crashes over time. Yes, it's an investment, but it's also a gamble. I believe, and I'm no financial advisor, okay? Don't listen to me about any financial advising. Go see other people in our church that are professionals and can really help you. But I believe what number is associated with the value on the stock market, whether the Dow rises or falls, it's based on people's emotions. I think things are going well. Therefore, the value of the stock market goes up because everybody feels good about stuff. They feel good about life. When they don't feel good, regardless of what the actual economic circumstances are, things go bad. And what happens? People lose a lot of money. That thing that they were planning to put their faith in, their trust in, that was going to be there for them when it was time for them to retire, maybe it's not there. These folks that are just tied up in something like a 401k and the New York Stock Exchange, they're considering their wealth treasure. And they don't realize how easily it can rust, be stolen, or be lost. Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21 say this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, I'll be the first to admit, investing is good. It's smart. Do it. But don't let financial investments be your treasure. Don't let them be where your heart is. Don't let us make that our faith, because it can be undermined. The Bible does not speak out against saving or investing. In fact, the Bible is in favor of saving. Proverbs 21:20 says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." We're trying to teach our girls right now some stuff about finances. Just because you get X dollars in a gift doesn't mean you run to the store and spend it all. It's a good idea, girls, to spend some and save a lot. And sometimes I don't follow my own advice. But God encourages us to work hard and to save, but he does not want us to put our trust in money or anything other than him. As part of our call to worship this morning, Psalm 20, verse 7 said, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the Lord our God." You see, horses and chariots were the New York Stock Exchange of the day. They represented wealth and power and might at that time. A king, a ruler that had chariots and horses could probably defeat their enemies. They dictated what went on. People had confidence in that ruler and that kingdom because they were powerful. But remember, God says money is not the issue. It's loving money and making it our God that is the problem. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." This thing that can be helpful in retirement, that can be passed on to children and inheritance, which is another biblical principle, can also become a God that destroys somebody. You know, some of the wealthiest people that are invested in the stock exchange and work there or whatever, we see all the time the casualties of having that be everything to a person because it's empty and it's meaningless and it cannot satisfy, and it makes people become desperate when they realize that. Everything that I've worked at is tied up here. I had a friend who went on vacation recently, and he said, "Chris, I get very existential when I go on vacation. I sit around, I have too much time on my hands." He said, "I was on a cruise, and I was watching a lot of retired people," and he's a very strong believer. He said, "I started to ask myself, is this it? Is this it? I'm going to get to a point where I don't have to work anymore, and I can go on cruises," and it was a little bit sorrowful for him. Because, you know, when you unplug from the Almighty and everything is material, it just doesn't satisfy. So, it's good to invest in a 401k. It's good to have a diversified portfolio. But it must be accompanied by a spiritual 401k if we are wise. Expressed mathematically, I would say it this way. A 401k, if you're invested in it, that equals good. That's good. Not trying to talk you out of that. Nothing evil about that. It's good. But a 401k plus a spiritual 1k is better, best. It's really what God's design for us is. So let's talk a little bit more about a definition of a 401k for those of us that don't quite understand it really well, like me, and also talk about this concept, this made-up idea of a spiritual 401k. So the technical definition of a 401k is a retirement account to which employee and employer contribute, on which taxes are deferred until withdrawal, and for which the employee usually selects the types of investments. So in non-lawyer speak, your paycheck that you get before the government takes taxes out of it, you can take a percentage of that before they take out the taxes and you can invest it in a 401k. And if you have a nice employer, if you're going to give 3% of your pay to your 401k, your employer might give 3% as well. They have a matching contribution up to a point. And then you get to decide, what do I want to invest? On the stock market, all these different companies, do I want to be really aggressive and take a big risk with my investment? Do I want to be less aggressive, a real stable fund that might not give me as big a return, but there's not as much chance I'm going to lose my money? That's a real traditional financial 401k. And since I made up the idea of a spiritual 401k, I get to define what it is, because it's all made up, right? So my two-wordy definition, and this is probably confusing, I say it's an eternal account to which servant, which is us, and master, which is God, contribute. You know, you're not alone if you want to think about investing in a spiritual 401k, you don't just do that. We don't do that on our own. The Lord helps us. Isn't that wonderful? He makes more than a matching contribution when we decide to serve him. He equips us. He's there with us. He's walking with us through it. On which some rewards are reaped here on earth. You know, the good deeds that we do, the things that we do, not to be rewarded. God blesses us sometimes for the work that we do for him. So some of the stuff that we invest in our spiritual 401k, it's going to be reaped as a reward now. But some is going to be deferred. Some of the rewards from investing in a spiritual 1K, we are not going to realize until we get to heaven. And so when we think about a spiritual 401k, we are the servant and we obey the call of our master regarding how we're going to invest in our 401k, where we're going to invest, when, and who we're going to serve. In plainer words, the illustration of a 401k, a spiritual 401k, it represents all of our works as a Christian. Remember, faith without works is dead. So we're saved through Christ and Christ alone. But because we love him and because we're saved, we want to work. And a spiritual 401k represents all of that work, which demonstrates our faith. It's all the acts of service we do for God after we get saved. And like I said, God partners with us in this work. He directs us in our efforts to serve him. And he keeps track of what we do. You know, there's some people that they're refreshing their screen on their 401k like every few minutes. They're not really working at work. They're in front of their work computer like, yeah, I'm busy over here. And they're just, did my investment grow? Am I losing money in my 401k? Everybody probably knows somebody that's probably too close to their 401k. But the idea of how am I doing? Evaluating. How are things going? That's biblical. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 to 15 say this. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I think that verse, that passage, it speaks to a 401k and a spiritual 401k. It speaks to the fact that we as humans are involved in human efforts, material efforts, and again, there's nothing wrong with that unless it crosses a point, and we should be involved in a spiritual thing. And God is looking. God is evaluating. And some things are not going to withstand and hold up to his scrutiny. In some places, we're unbalanced. In some places, our priorities are messed up. My priorities are messed up sometimes. And the Lord needs to go hit me in the head and say, hey, reevaluate. Get back on track here. If God tracks the investment we make in his kingdom work, so should we. Treating our service to God like a spiritual 401k means this investment in God's work is far more important than any material wealth we generate in our 401k through our place of employment. It demands to be prioritized above any other work we do. And as we think about this, you know, when I prepare a message like this, I'm the first one that gets challenged because I'm reading the scripture and the Lord's speaking to me. And I have to ask myself, is this true in my life? Is this true in my life? Is this true in your life? Have we prioritized the Lord's work above everything else? All right, let's go to our third topic. Why is your spiritual 401k important? And what I wanted to do was compare the two types of investments that we talked about to highlight why a spiritual 401k is much more important than a traditional 401k. So we've got a ledger. We've got what a 401k represents on the left, what a spiritual 401k represents on the right, and some scripture to show us where the priority should be. The first thing about a 401k is it's material. It's material. It's for saving money, creating personal wealth, owning precious metals maybe, creating opportunities to expand in areas like investment properties. It is material. Now, sorry to use a word in the title to define what it is, but a spiritual 401k is spiritual. It's the opposite of material. It's for investing in God's work and his priorities. And again, these are far more important than the material. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." We can have a 401k without serving it. We can have a 401k and put it in its proper place. Our spiritual 401k, the stuff we do for the Lord, he is our master. He is our priority. A 401k is in subjection to a spiritual 401k. The second thing about the 401k is it's corruptible. It's not the wisest investment. Money in all of its forms, they will perish in the end. Whereas our spiritual 401k is incorruptible. Serving the Lord and the rewards he gives us, they're going to last forever. They're going to last forever. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whither I sent it." And I will say, forever. Forever. God's word is never going away. People have tried to destroy it and eradicate it. I believe someday there'll be a move on the internet to scrub it clean of all scripture. I believe that the verses that talk about someday there'll be a famine of the word includes people trying to eradicate online scripture because we're so dependent on it. Or maybe even more weird, changing it in a way that AI can do that we're not even aware that what we're reading actually isn't the pure word of God anymore. Just me, for you conspiracy theorists out there. Maybe there's nothing to it. The third thing that a 401k is, it's transactional. What we save in a 401k, it can only meet some of our needs, and they're all physical. We buy stuff, and we pay for it from what we saved. It's transactional. Whereas our spiritual 401k, it's transformational. When we serve God and care for others, God can completely change our lives, and God can change the people's lives that he has us interacting with. A 401k can't break bonds that people are in. You know, I know of people that have spent a lot of money to go to recovery facilities, and they cannot shake their addiction. And it's not that they don't have enough money to pay for it. It's that somehow, some way, and I think maybe because God isn't involved, their lives, they've not been able to have a transformation. But Jesus is the chain breaker. Jesus is the way maker. Jesus breaks addictions. He gives us new lives. He allows the old man to be put down, and he makes us a new creature. A spiritual 401k is transformational. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The transformation is available to us. Will we tap into it? God has made a contract with us. He promised he would transform us, but we have a part. We have to open the account, the spiritual 401k. We have to invest in it. We have to accept what he has for us. Next, a 401k, it's self-centered. I don't want to be overly critical, but it is. It's created to meet my needs, enable me to pursue my wants, and it's primarily putting myself first. But a spiritual 401k is God-centered. It asks God what he wants. It puts the needs of others above my own. It's there to serve God and others despite the discomfort it creates for me. When it gets a little rough, we don't run away from a spiritual 401k. We don't run away from serving the Lord. Isaiah 6:8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" Now, is that our heart attitude? Or when the Lord comes and says, "I'm sending you to invest in your spiritual 401k, which really belongs to me, Chris, and I've got a mission for you." Do I say, "Can't, need to check out my 401k portfolio. Sorry, I need to talk to my broker. In a minute, I've got some adjustments to make. I want to be a little less aggressive in how I'm invested today in my portfolio, because I'm getting older and I need to make adjustments because I'm getting closer to retirement." The prophet Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." A 401k, finally, is time-bound. A 401k can only help us between our physical birth and death. We have nothing of our own at birth. And we, no matter how much we make, no matter how much we amass, we take none of it with us when we die. We come in naked into this world without a penny to our name, and we go out, doesn't matter how insignificant somebody says this person that passed away was, or how much accolades they got from humanity. We're all the same. We come in with nothing and we leave with nothing. But a spiritual 401k, it's eternal. As Christians, we have an eternal vision. I really want you to try to get this with me today. We see our birth, we see our death, but we look beyond our physical death into our eternity with God. And we plan now to have an impact, both with our service to God while we're alive, for the people that are around us here on this earth today, but we know that it's an investment beyond our death. When we're in the ground and our spirit is in heaven with Christ, there's something that we're going to have a conversation with the Lord. He's going to evaluate. We're going to get rewards or suffer losses in heaven. So it's eternal. What kind of amazing investment is an eternal investment? Nobody else but the Lord can offer that. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." God inhabits eternity. "Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." When we are living for more than a 401k, when we are living for a spiritual 401k and investing, God ignites us. He takes our humble spirit that's there to serve him, and he revives our heart. Because a 401k can't do those things, but investing in God's work can. So, are you interested? Do you want to open a 401k with Jesus today? How can you invest in your spiritual 401k? Here's a few thoughts. In their book, Spiritual Formation is How to Grow in Jesus with Passion and Confidence, Rod Dempsey and Dave Early state that there are three directions for something called spiritual formation. And I'm using these three directions that they talk about to show us how to invest in our spiritual 401k. I want to use it to apply it to this made-up thing that we're talking about called a spiritual 401k today. The first direction that we can invest in our spiritual 401k is upward. And it shows our love for God. Mark 13:20 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." That means you got to get saved before you can think about having a spiritual investment. You got to say to God, "I agree with you. I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. Only your son Jesus shed blood can bridge this gap between me and you, God. And I say yes. And then we need to be a disciple. We need to obey the Lord and engage in discipleship the rest of our lives. We need to witness, which is not for a full-time staff member of a church. It's for all of us. It's a command. It's not negotiable. We need to share the gospel and witness to others. But that's showing love to God. We need to not only be disciples ourselves, but we need to disciple others. And we need to understand what our gifts are and use them because we love God. The second direction that we can invest in our spiritual 401k is inward. And this inward service shows our love for one another. John 15:2 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And just to tick off a bunch of ways that we can love one another, and there are some references here for you to look up later, we need to be accepting. We need to instruct one another. We need to greet each other when we see each other. We're not to be cold, we're to be warm. We're to serve one another, agree with one another. We're to be patient with one another and bear one another up. We're to forgive one another, and we shouldn't just focus on criticizing one another. The third direction that we can invest in our spiritual 401k is outward. And this shows love for our neighbors. This is outside of the church. This is unsaved people. This is people on our street or people at work or people at the grocery store that we've never met. Matthew 22:39, part of it says that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And what is this called? An acronym? No. Is that what it's called? It's when you got a word, in this case, it's BLESS. And we're going to see the ways that we can love outward and show love for our neighbors. We can begin with prayer. Pray that the Lord show you who he wants you to minister to, lead you to specific people and make appointments. He wants us to listen. Don't talk. When we're serving others, listen to people. Understand their struggles. They're going to tell you the pains that they have in their life. We're supposed to eat with folks. You know, you can't rush through that. Having a meal with somebody, it's the most intimate social thing we can do. Have somebody over for a meal to your house, or maybe go grab coffee somewhere. The first S in BLESS is serve. When we listen to people, when we eat with them, they'll actually tell us how they need to be loved and how we can serve them. And then finally, the last S is story. When the time is right, we share the story of how Jesus changed our lives. So, spiritual service and investing in our 401k, it's hard work, but God encourages us to be diligent. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And while a 401k and other material investments can't save us and can't give us joy or hope, and they should never take a priority over our spiritual 401k, our last passage here is 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So in closing, are you and I putting as much discipline and work into preparing to meet Jesus as we're putting into saving for retirement? Let's be good financial stewards, but let us be even better spiritual stewards. Let us love and serve God and others by investing in kingdom work each day. Father, I just pray that this illustration was helpful today, Lord, not confusing. I pray that we're challenged today to think outside of the box that the world wants to put us in. Lord, the enemy does not want us to think about spiritual things, and he, the enemy, uses every tool at his disposal to keep us focused on the material, to keep us focused on this present world, to keep us focused on our needs and our wants. And Lord, we do pray that you continue to transform us, renew our hearts and minds. We know that you have more for us. We know that you have a better life. You promised to save us and to give us not just life, but a life more abundant. And a more abundant life pulls our hearts and minds away from just focusing on something like a 401k and constructing our life purposefully, disciplining ourselves to think of our life as also having a spiritual 401k component where we can be purposeful about when we serve you, how we serve you, who you're calling us to, and just giving you our all, Father. Giving you the greatest return of your investment in us. Jesus died for us. We can live for him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.